Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Tactical Tuesdays. Thanks for tuning in. On these episodes, we'll be diving deep into different areas of marketing. And again, we're going to be going in the weeds. So stay tuned. We hope you learned something and we'll see you soon. What's going on? This is Kevin Daisy, your host, and welcome to another Tactical Tuesday episode here on the Managing Partners Podcast. Today, I'm bringing in one of our newer folks that was a really important hire for us and something that we always struggle with. Even when we do okay at it, something you always got to be working on. But that's client communication and really taking care of our clients and the onboarding process, the client journey, and things like that. So Megan has come on board with us and she's been working on all those things for us. So I don't want to steal her thunder and I want her to introduce herself. Tell us her background, and we're going to talk about how you as a lawyer owner can implement what we're talking about today in your law firm with communication with your clients and improve your firm. So, but we're going to tell you how we've done it here and what we're working on. So Megan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me. Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts, being in this role working with clients, because I have to educate myself on how to speak and best communicate with my clients. And I'm not a gatekeeper, so I share that information and the knowledge that I find with my clients. And at the end of the day, we're all just working with people. So a lot of it is very transferable stuff that we talk about, and I transfer back to my clients. So really important to me. I'll start off with a little bit about my background and why this is mission critical, which is something I'm trying to accomplish in my career and further seek to understand. So I started off as a client. My first job out of college was in car sales. And I worked at a car dealership in their business development center. So I worked in their internet intake department. Then I was working on a desk for selling some cars. And after about a year of doing that, I got my big opening job and at a industry research company right on 40 Wall Street in New York City. And I was there for 7 years. I started off there as a client relationship manager, and we were a small company with big company opportunity, similar to what I feel at Array Digital. And during my time there, I was client relationship manager number like 6 or 7 or 8. And by the time I left, there was over 50 client relationship managers in our customer and our client service department. So my experience really started there, coming in where we had really good process. We had a really good team. I had an amazing manager, but we were growing a lot. So after about a year and a half of being in that client facing role, supporting clients through their retention life cycle and upselling opportunities, I was tapped to jump into management. At that point, I was really excited to take it, but I was very young, still very green in my career. But that opportunity allowed me to do was dip my toes, wear a lot of hats that you don't usually get to wear in a typical company managing a team role, because it was such a small company. We didn't have marketing. We didn't have people to develop a lot of these processes and systems. So just being a client-facing person, exactly, and knowing what needs to be done, you do it. So that's what I did. And I would build a lot of our handle, like we call it the handover call. We'll talk about that more from what we're implementing here. From the client handover to understanding the pre-call checklist, what the client-facing collateral is looking at, how to match their communication and meet their tone, and how to see to understand what is important to them. And we'll get into this more when it comes to communication, but a flag post that I have as what guides me, or I guess my North Star, is really seeking to understand what our clients are trying to accomplish or what they want to accomplish, regardless of what I can provide them or what Array Digital can provide them. We're not putting the carriage before the horse, whatever the saying is. but yeah, you get blinded. You have your blinders on when you're only looking to fit them into your category. So people sniff that out. Remember who our clients are. They're smart people. So
we got some pretty smart clients.
Got some pretty smart people here. And we have professional negotiators, essentially, who are the people we're working with. They'll know your authenticity, and they'll know that if you're trying to get them in a way. So that's more nuances.
I'll add that. Yeah. I mean, you know, as you're starting out and you have a smaller company, a small team, law firm, marketing agency, doesn't matter. Yeah. Everyone's kind of doing a lot of different things, and process is kind of you know, maybe for some things and not for others. And, you know, there's a lot of scramble and a lot of focus quickly goes on the work. And you lose sight of, well, helping somebody and we're working with a client that's different than the other clients that has different needs. You know, they like to communicate differently. And so you just try to put them in the process. And the thing is, if you hire someone and you say, hey, here's the process, and then they just, they follow it to a T, right? And then you're cramming that client into this process, like you're saying. And it's, you're not adjusting, you're not understanding. So it's just something that we've had a problem with for a while here. And we've been working on it. And Megan's coming to do that.
Coming into this seat, what I found is that we were going against the currents for a lot of our clients. We're trying to make them go with our process here, and no one's going to win. Especially a lot of money's online, a lot of, now this is a reputation. These are people's livelihoods. So we want to make sure we're paying attention to the big picture and where they're trying to drive home what their goals are. So
plus nothing stays consistent ever, right? Marketing goals, firm growth, or maybe they have a bad year. Maybe they have someone leave, you know, maybe they're opening a new office. I mean, there's just so many variables within business. That's just, you can't just, well, here's the path and we're just going to stick on it and nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
Ridiculous to think that that's going to happen.
Yeah. So I'll talk about this a little bit, because in order for me to get to my dream place of being able to apply the client communication standards that I've always dreamt of, right? What led me to Array Digital in my interview process, leaving my previous company I was at, I could have stayed at forever, but I wasn't itching the scratch that I had to get back to revisiting building a team, so being a builder and building this from bottom up. So here are a few things that enable me to be able to get this practice. And I say non-negotiables a lot, just in my everyday talk with clients and with our team, or to do what I envision correctly and doing a good job, I need these things. So one of them in my question process through interviewing was, I need to work with somewhere where they're constantly looking at continued innovation. So a question I had was, what's been your most recent launch or innovative process, solution? And what's the next? What are you working on? Do you have stuff on the burners there? You're keeping stuff warm. You're ready to pull them off the back burner and make them hot right away. I don't want to work somewhere where we have too much lag. The other thing that was really important to me was cross-functional communication with executive leadership. And look where I am today, right? Look, I'm sitting here with Kevin and talking. Kevin's one of our co-founders. The reason why that's important to me is because frontline is precious. You need to know not only what your clients are saying to your frontline, but are your frontline people motivated, educated, and aware on the human level of how they're being perceived by our precious clients? So there's a few pieces here when it comes to client communication. It's making sure we know what we want to say, but also are team members empowered to be able to say it? Do they have that confidence, the skill and the will they need? So there's a lot of nuances there when it comes to it. So like, then back to your point, Kevin, we can't just code across all clients and we can't code across all client-facing employees. So there's a lot of intricacies here where the moving parts have moving parts. That's why I have my guiding light and North Star, is that we're always constantly seeking to understand what they want to accomplish regardless of what we can offer. And that's having an authentic, empathetic approach to client relationships, or just relationships in general, right?
Yeah.
So that's when I've always wanted that, being at Array Digital, having somewhere that can act quickly, be agile because we are smaller, and somewhere that I have direct cross-functional communication with my executive leadership, I can then implement these changes. And then now we can probably transfer and talking about some of the changes that we've implemented here and the successes that we're seeing with our clients so far. And these are all things that law firms can do. You can do for your clients. So I want to highlight that point.
No, I mean, those are good points, and I appreciate that. And yeah, I know a lot of companies that the ownership, the leaders, the owners, founders, whatever you want to call them, they're not that engaged, or maybe they don't even care as much. The company just needs to make money and go forward. Or you got like big corporations, big, huge companies that you kind of lose that. So yeah, we're in a good spot where we are. And I think, you know, a lot of lawyers that I know, a lot of guests I've had on the show, seem to be very engaged with their clients and the whole process. And so that's good to see across the board for the most part. But, you know, for me, when it was me and then me and about 5 or 10 people, I owned all the relationships. And at the size we're at, I can't just do that all. And so,
yeah.
So as you build, you sort of start implementing processes and systems and bringing on people yourself to be able to grow and scale that, but the client not feel like they had a different experience or that they lost something along the way.
Yeah. So that's an important part of the process here is ensuring the seamless experience while we're having internal changes. So we're allowed to run around their hair on fire. Client will never know. That's what we're trying to preserve here too. Okay.
We've never done that before.
Never. Calm, cool, and collected. But yeah, that's been one of the challenges that I think that we've had, but it's also, I love a challenge, but it's been fun because I think that it's been like a changing frame of mind for a lot of people here that are especially so used to working in an old agency model. Just like we said, we can't code across all people and companies, and we can't code across all client operations models. So times are changing. If you look at my previous company I was working for was a consulting advisory company, and my clients were big banks, mostly in Canada. I sold 3 suites of products to these clients. One of them was a customer service and support facing product. And one of the mission critical priorities among all of my clients was creating a client-centric platform. It's just a service, some sort of model or mantra for them. So if you've noticed, we've seen a lot of this happen at the turn with the pandemic. Your money, your power, like think of some of the bank slogans you have, like your money, you need it, or we can probably insert a few other ones. But the crux is it's focusing on your goal. It's not about come work with us. It's whatever your dream, they're selling the dream. That's what they're trying to
about
do.
About you, not them.
Exactly. So it's not, here's what we can do for you. It's here's what your life can look like if you call us. So that's a very consultative sale, not a very transactional one, but that's the approach, like the marketing approach and the psychology behind what people are receiving these days and how they receive it well, because it works. People come to you and they think, well, they're not just after my money. They want to hear and help me. So I want to tell one story because this is another thing that also shapes that I think about all the time. And this didn't happen for me. A good friend of mine who works in audiovisual production in New York City, it was when their company was in its infancy, and they got a call Friday night in the office in New York. Friday, let's say like 4:30, everyone's trying to leave the office and go get a drink. They get a call from someone, and their main niche for production is like big hotels in the city, right? They get a call from someone. It's a grandmother. She says, my daughter's, my niece or my grandchild's bat mitzvah is tonight. A few of the monitors fell through. We need screens and we need speakers. Guy who answered the phone, hey guys, what do we think about this? We don't usually work we don't do small parties. Gosh, the guy said, I'm going out. It's Friday, I'm leaving. This guy stayed on the phone. They ended up, they were way over budget for what this grandmother could afford, but he talked to her. Sorry, we can't help you out there, but I'll recommend you to someone else. However long later, if you've heard, there's a very, I don't know if I'm allowed to say like there's the chains, but a very prominent boutique hotel chain opened up on the High Line in New York City. And this hotel entrepreneur, his daughter was the one whose bat mitzvah was that weekend. And when he opened up his hotel, his mother said, you should call this nice man at the AV production company to do your hotel AV. So the client journey for the grandmother is very short. Client journey for the the referral made that company. It keeps the lights on. Okay.
Yeah. So you never know.
You never know how long or short that client journey is to echo a few things that Stacey Isaac said on your recent episode. It is, like, back to my point, precious. It's precious how they feel leaving that interaction. So that's another kind of guider for me that I try to think of. It doesn't matter what they want.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it doesn't matter if the client is our biggest client or biggest potential client or just, you know, I've talked to tons of solos that call and just say, hey, I need help. I don't know if I can afford you all. And just talk them through and say, maybe, maybe not. Here's what I would do regardless.
Yeah.
And if you can't afford us, this is still what you need to do. Whether you hire someone else, let me refer you. But, you know, we have some smaller clients that became our biggest clients. Solos to multi-office with dozens of lawyers. So, and we helped them go there, right? And so that's the ultimate. So, yeah, you just never know who you're talking to. And so you don't change your tone or your behavior because, well, they're probably small. You know, let me not talk to them. That's not how you want to be.
So. Yeah, no, they pay attention to that. And there are people that do, like, you know, secret shopping, right? I was just speaking to one of my clients and he said he is a family lawyer and he's been calling around to some of his competitors in the area. Their thing that makes them stand out is that they offer information immediately over the phone. They'll give you retainer information. He said that he has been calling like all of his competitors and they're saying like up to a week to even to speak to someone, or he hasn't just getting calls back at all. I challenged him. Wow. I said, have you tried calling all of your locations yet? But he hasn't started doing that yet.
Yeah. Stop yourself. If you're listening, I mean, you know, here's the thing. Yeah. You mentioned Stacey Isaacs with Worker Injury Rights. They're awesome. She had a great episode on the show here recently. And then me and Jennifer Gore, she's been on the show before. We did an episode on Antrim Legal's platform and their show, which will soon be out on our show, talking about the same thing, client journey, client communication. And it's always a work in progress. Always. Like, you don't just, all right, we nailed it. No. And so it's something that if you don't have someone leading this up, like Stacey Isaacs in her firm, that's her department. That's what she does.
Purposeful, like very intentful builds and focusing on that. Yeah, I've had a client when I was selling the customer service and support model that their slogan was, we're so focused on have that client-centric model that we call ourselves customer obsessed. And I loved that. Or, you know, so like things like that are what people are really trying to switch towards now and where customers lean towards. But I want to touch on that and pull the thread on there. You said kind of you can't blanket statement a solution across all. And especially with the pace of change in our current environment will never be as slow as it is today. I love to say that because it's true. And that's really why it's important. And it's been a little bit of a challenge. It's fun for me because I've been working in this client. I haven't really come from an agency model. So I'm like, no, guys, this is coming into the new world. This is how we're going to manage our clients and communicate with our clients now. So one of the things that I think is going to be an integral part of our process and really help maintain the relationship that Kevin works so hard here for getting our clients in the door and providing them with that empathetic right solution is our handover. So transferring from the initial sale to ongoing support and services. You can relate this to a law firm where you get them in the door. Now what? So you someone can buy when they have their aha moment once, but will they renew? It's a different story. Will they call? Will they refer you to someone else? Will they say, you know, this isn't working? Maybe they might know what to do and pick up the phone and call you. You got to have more than one aha moment with your clients. So that's why putting them into a good funnel and understanding who they are and what they're looking to accomplish, you can then tailor your services and information to create more meaningful conversations with them. So something that we're doing here is within that handover. So essentially, Kevin takes our client that he's just signed on with website platforming and our SEO services, content, whatever it may be, and he takes their hand and he puts it directly in mine. And together on a phone call, we hold hands for 30 minutes and we discuss their statement of work. The crux of client advocacy is for me in that call, I know more about how we work than our client does, right? My job isn't there to say to our client, hey, this is what we're doing. No, it's what this is what you're going to get. I need to subtract information from you and let our team know what to do. And then I let you know what this looks like at the end of the day. They don't need to be muddied in our process, right? Yeah. That's very important to me, is not losing them along that line, because that you're losing the seamless client experience when you do that. And that's priority. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how those relationships are more meaningful along the way. Because what we've been doing, or what we have done before, and what the typical agency model is once a client comes on board, they sign their statement of work, they work with the project manager.
Mm-hmm.
Now that project manager, which we've done that. Up until just recently, we've had a project manager. So we still have someone here doing project management. They're not a project manager anymore. We have Meredith, who's been supporting Kevin for the past few months in a sales administrative role, coming and working with me as our client advocate support individual.
And your title for everyone, I don't think we told that, which is new.
So my title is Director of Client Advocacy. Put it, you know, we could have said client services, account management, but being purposeful in the title there, because that's what I'm doing. I'm there to advocate on your behalf. Champion for your interests internally. Ask questions that you might not know you need to ask right now, because I have your goals in mind because we've talked about it.
Yeah, I love that. You know, think about that too. Is if a lawyer, like, what's the title of those folks? What do you call them? You know, I think it's important. And Megan's not just here to look out for you or the client, if you were a client, but to come to the team and the agency and say, hey, this is broken. This is not right. This is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And so, like, truly advocating for how the client's feeling and how that process is and what that looks like. So looking for improvement pretty much constantly.
I'll say it again. There's no gatekeeping with me. And I'm a big knowledge seeker. So anything I take, I want to share if it's relevant. So, like, for example, Kevin, I keep summaries on all of your podcasts. And when I'm on phone calls, I keep it in like a document. I transcribe and I get takeaways from all of these, and I control F for like key takeaways and keywords for my clients. I'm like, take this piece of information, whether I can do it on the phone or afterwards. Like, this might be helpful. I don't know. But as I get to know them more, I know what is more helpful. But that's how you advocate for them. Or when you see them saying, well, I don't really see why clunky intake forms are a problem. Let me shine some light onto you why there's a problem. I have data to back that up. And that's all. That's another part. Everything's informed by data. And I'm also happy to share experiences from my clients. You know, I'm not going to say this exact client name did that, but something I will tell you is that others in your space find success when they do X, Y, and Z. So that's not something I'll ever keep from my clients as well. And yeah, it's just, what's the golden rule? You do unto others as you want done unto you. And I would want someone to share information with me that's going to help me. So that's where I'm coming from. with that purpose.
Yeah, you know, I put out an article a few years ago on client experience, I believe I called it, or client journey experience, something like that. Anyway, the research that I did when I put the piece together was, there's like a 90-day, it's a kind of a golden kind of spot, but the first 90 days of a client or customer's experience with you, and that's all the way from like when I talk to them at the sales all the way through. And, you know, just like if you're a lawyer, you sign on a client. And then what happens after that? Just because you sign them on doesn't mean they're going to turn into referrals. And if they don't turn into referrals, then you're definitely kicking yourselves, because that could be growing your business so much faster. So what happens to them along that timeline? And if they have a great 90-day experience, they're kind of like customers for life at that point. And so that's kind of like it's a time frame that they're still judging you. They're looking for problems. When I sign on a client, they're looking for us to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
They've had agencies mess up every single time.
Oh yeah, there's that trust factor.
Buyer's remorse. I signed that contract with Kevin. Can I trust that they'll do the work? I mean, there's just a lot of things in their mind. Same if they signed up with you for a divorce or estate planning or whatever it may be. You know, how are you building that trust along the way? And so, you know, it's super important.
I find it very, this was an exercise I did when I was in management to understand communication styles for my team members. So I can understand if there's someone who's a little more, I'm very direct in my emails. I know I'm very enthusiastic and animated, but when I'm working, I like it bullet points and keep it to the point. That can come off depending on how some people receive information as stern or not very warm. If I don't start off with a certain approach and ask how their weekend is or something like that. Right. So being aware of how you might be perceived, regardless of your intentions, super important, which is another kind of checkpoint in my pre-call planning, especially before you get with a client in the first place. Where are they from? What are they like? What are they like? And what do they like? Right. So I'll do my diligence online. Like, we are web experts and we're about to work on your website. I have access to a lot of information and I want to learn about you. that's really important to see how they would do that and looking at previous communication, like with Kevin, how they did receive information before. If there is a, you know, when they tend to lag, when do they respond to emails? Stuff like that, I think is really important. And that's all before you get on the phone, right? So then once you're on with them, something that I think about, because not every conversation is just all peaches and cream. We're you hired us because you have a problem, and solving those problems has growth pains. So that's okay. We're going to have some strategic conversations, make decisions together, right? We'll advise you along the way, but it's a challenge to get a lot of this done. There is a lift. So when you want to give them advice, and sometimes people just aren't seeing the way that you're seeing them, whether they don't have the knowledge to, or maybe we're misguided, whatever it is, I find that when you go in and you push hard, someone else will always push back. And then you're in this place rather than a give and take. So you subconsciously people will end up just doing that rather than what's the saying when you're in a, like, marital remediation? It's like, it's not us against each other. It's us against the problem. Right. So coming at it from that point of view to appreciate their frustration. You have frustrated clients and you're going through a difficult conversation. Yeah. It sucks. There are implications to what's happening when things don't go right, far beyond what we might understand. And just, you know, really knowing, having an awareness of that, even if you don't know what the issue is when you're going into a call, is super important and shouldn't be understated. I think that's just right back to, like, the human aspect of things, that we're all just people at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have robots doing this job for a reason. And a lot of people
I think that comes down, you know, so people in the front facing folks in your firm, law firm, right? You know, having emotional intelligence and being able to be aware and pivot and understand what's going on. And, you know, Megan does a really good job of that. So it's, you don't know where people are in that moment, that day, super nice all the time. And then now they're not. It might have nothing to do with what you're doing. It just might be something they're experiencing in their business. Or in a case, if you're a lawyer, obviously someone's reaching out to you, they probably have a serious problem in most instances. So you're dealing with people that are having a bad day, having a bad issue potentially, right? Depending on what practice area you're working in. But having folks that understand that, I know for me, some of our clients, like, they want to be really short, not shoot the shit, just to the point. And you got some that are, you know, cool with talking, and you can't jump in too fast and go down to business too quickly because they feel like, you know, you're not creating the relationship. So you just got to be aware and really read the room in some situations and adjust where you need to, or throw the red flag and say, hey, you know, this something with this client's not going right.
Yep.
And pull your team and say, hey, what's up? Yeah, you talked to them last. Like, what was that like when you first talked with them? What was, you know, and try to figure out the situation.
That's probably where we can get into next time, is like not letting things fester like that, like popping the pimple, I guess, or whatever kind of
urgency. Yeah. Taking care of the hard things.
Yeah.
You know, head on. Direct on. I've never been good at that personally, that direct head on, like, there's a problem, you know, with the person. That's not been my strong suit, but that's why we bring you on. But
I'm like, part of it is, like, I'm from New York, so and I've got the Wall Street experience, so I know that not a lot of people are. I mean, also, my mom's 100% commission salesperson who sells radio time, so I've been raised by a beast. So there's also that. But that's, like, my last little points here on, like, client communications and training your frontline staff, that empathetic factor, that seeking to understand, meeting them where they are. You can learn how to do that. There's soft skills that you can learn how to adapt and be around. So things like even like a Toastmasters class or something, just to get you used to hearing people speaking and hearing people out, right? Public speaking and stuff like that is really cool as well. But there are ways that you can train yourself to have other ways of working with people.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it goes back to empowering your people to be able to go outside the lines, right? Versus like, okay, here's your seat. You're going to do this and this and this, and then that's it. And so, you know, they have to have mental ownership, right? They want to be part of this process and make changes and add add to it and get creative and say, hey, I think we should do this. So this client has a situation. I think we should do that. You want a team that can do that and have that ability.
Yeah, that's advocacy. That's advocating for your clients. That's advocating for yourself and for your knowledge and for your company. Because if one client wants it, chances are others might too. You might be onto something, right? So yeah, it's all very valuable and critical for me to understand when working with my clients and having a frontline staff.
Yeah. And you as an owner, if you're listening, empower that team, allow them to have that ability. Because again, if your frontline team doesn't care about your company or doesn't feel like they have some, again, mental ownership, not actual ownership, then it's not going to go very well. Why would they care? You know, at some point, right? They're not going to stick around, or they might be the quiet quitters. So they don't say anything. They're just there. And they're affecting your client experience and how they feel about your firm and if you get referrals. So huge part. So we're going to talk a lot more about communication with Megan. We're going to bring her on for some other episodes. So Megan, thanks for coming on today, and we're going to bring you some more. So another Tactical Tuesday. If you have questions or things you want us to cover, please let me know and we'll work it in there. But communication, client experience, there's so much to it. We have a 20 episodes about it.
I know.
Thank you everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. If you could just please leave a review on one of our podcast platforms, we would greatly appreciate it. For any marketing help with your law firm, please consider Array Digital at arraydigital.com.